We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
I don't give a damn. I'm the man.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, NFL Hall of Famer and NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Michael is brought to you by the Department of Veterans Affairs and by Zuti. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, guys. I think we have a great week of football coming up. Well, wait. I've had some great NBA, you know, Saturday night. And some college football. I got Florida State, Miami. And Saturday night, I got Florida State, Miami. Saturday night, I also got that big UFC fight. That's that Alessandro and Costa fight. That's going to be off the hook. And then Sunday, we got NFL. And Monday night, we got NFL. We got a great week going, buddy.
Well, you've already had a hell of a week. Congratulations on the arrival of Brooklyn, Ania Mapp, your second grandchild this week. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, isn't that a blessing, man? She's so beautiful, so incredible. And you know, it was when my daughter, because of this COVID thing, she could only have one person, at the hospital at a time, because, having the baby and everything, because they're watching everybody come in the hospital. But so we were not able to be there. But, yeah, we got her home now, and she's healthy. And thank you for that, because that's my world. I'm revamping my whole backyard for my grandkids, and me and my wife can sit out there with some lemonade. Of course, I'm going to sneak some vodka in my lemonade.
Yeah, there
I'll
we
stick
go.
A vodka in mine, and we can watch the kids just play. So, yeah, that's what you call getting old well.
Michael, going back to last Sunday night, what was your biggest takeaway from the Patriots-Seahawks shootout?
Dude, was that not a great game? Wait, speaking of that, we had some great games last week too.
Yeah.
You know, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and that game right there that we're talking about right now. Oh my God. My biggest takeaway was this. Uh-oh. If Cam can do that too, then this can be something, cuz remember we talked about it. You know, Cam did a great job running the first week. But I knew he was going to have to open up and do more to stay with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in the passing game, and he did that. And we also talked about N'Keal Harry and all of these guys coming alive because Cam gives them a second and third opportunity with his legs, and that kid came alive. And I'm like, oh, if we going to get this Cam every week, this is going to be off the chain. I was ready to take back my pick because, you know, I picked Buffalo to win the East because I didn't know what it was going to look like with Cam over there. And I was talking about, well, wait a minute, that was a little hasty right there. We need to revamp this right here because Cam was throwing the ball very well. That was my biggest takeaway from the game. If Cam can throw like this, then this is going to be something special.
Yeah, we all thought he could run it, Michael, but the way he's been slinging it has just been unbelievable. One of his greatest games last Sunday night on the road, too, and getting stuff out of old man Edelman and everything is unbelievable. But we took a lot of positives away from an incredible game like that. People around here were describing it as an actual loss, but, you know, an emotional win. Yet some of the football players we've spoken to as the week has progressed have said, yeah, no, there's no such thing as an emotional win. Did you ever have any of those games where you actually lost, but you called them emotional wins?
I don't really call them emotional wins, but I could call them, you know, I hate losing, but I can call it a loss where I learned something great, you know, where I got something out of it. And you know, and that's something that you learn something great. You got something out of it. And that's why I always say, even when I deal with teams like Chargers or teams like Miami, well, teams like Miami more so the Chargers, because Chargers have a pretty good team. But like Miami, when I said, man, I don't want to just lose to lose. That's what you do with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I want to stick in the young kid. So if I'm losing, at least I'm learning while I'm losing. I'm getting something that I'm going to use later that's going to benefit me later. Not just lose-lose. At least I'm losing and learning. You know, you put in the young Tua kid, he's learning as he's losing. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick played pretty good last night as we did that game. But let me tell you what also stuck out and when I watched that game, because they were talking about it. When they asked Cam, they said, Cam said, I didn't make the decision to come here, and I love the statement. I just absolutely love it. He said, I didn't make the decision to come here thinking about replacing Tom Brady. I made the decision to come here thinking about playing for Bill Belichick. I was like, oh, yeah, because that kind of structure, it's what's going to bring the best out of me. That kind of admiration for my head coach. It's what's going to bring the best out of me. You remember how he had a few run-ins with Coach Rivera here and there, you know, because he didn't have, and God bless Coach Rivera, he didn't have that kind of admiration and respect for him. And he you know, now Cam was a young guy. Now Cam's an older guy, a little older, and he has that guy. That's what will propel him. That's what will propel him. When I heard them talking about that, then I went by and said, oh, okay. Yeah, that's why he's throwing like this, too. That's why he is so dialed in and so focused, because of the admiration and respect he has playing and the opportunity he has playing for Bill Belichick.
I'm talking with NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. According to an article in The Ringer written by Kevin Clark, there are 884 players in the NFL who make more money than Cam Newton does this year. How did the rest of the league get this so wrong?
Because we buy in so many things that don't matter. We really do. Let's be real. You know, first of all, we'll talk about this is the quarterback position. And then we want to have quarterbacks molded after a certain way or acting a certain way, dressing a certain way, or even face of our franchise. So they want it to be a certain way. And Cam doesn't necessarily always fall into line with those things. So he does what Cam does, what Cam does, and he is who he is. But he's a great guy with that type of a personality, and we hold his personality against him because of the position that he plays. And, you know, you want the quarterback to be like a CEO of a company, but they definitely got it wrong. Now get this, too. I don't know that anyone else can get the Cam Newton that Bill Belichick and the Patriots have. You know, so I'm kind of swaying that a little bit. I just don't know that anyone else can get that Cam Newton but Bill Belichick.
There was a million injuries last week. Do you think that's a product of the abbreviated preseason and no preseason games, or is it just football and guys get hurt?
It's a little bit of both. I think there's definitely something to do with the ramp-up process that we went through, or the lack thereof ramp-up process that we went through. So, because the body works that way, and it's always the second week. You know, you can do all the work. You think you are preparing for a full game. You think you are preparing to play four quarters and exert your body that way. And you go into that first game, and everything's great. But the second game is always the game. The second game, because now your muscles are a little bit weaker, and you can't control your movements in games like you can control those exertions and movements in practice. So you get in a game, and it's just strictly reacting real quickly. And your body now is a little more tired. And then all the stress goes to the joints, in the ligaments and something gives. And that's why we run into the situation we ran into. It's so unfortunate with all the injuries we had and some of the guys. I mean, that changed some teams' season right there with those injuries. You see what New Orleans looked like without Michael Thomas. You know that thing is going to really put a damper on the San Francisco 49ers season when you lose Solomon Thomas and Nick Bosa. It was a sad day.
Yeah, that was a sad day indeed. The playmaker Michael Irvin with us here on Dale and Keefe on the Harbor One Hotline. So the Raiders are coming to town on Sunday to play the Patriots. Pats are a reasonably comfortable favorite in this one, but you know, some around here are thinking that the Raiders could really give them a game. John Gruden, extra motivated. He hasn't been back here since 2005, a famous game 18 and a half years ago. Lost that playoff game in the snow. Got the Patriots double dynasty started. How much extra motivation do you think a football guy like John Gruden is carrying into a game like this, Michael? And do you think that could factor into the way the Raiders play in any way, shape, or form?
That's a great question. You know, because when I watched that game, Raiders the other night, Monday night against New Orleans, I saw something in that game. Right, I saw Jacobs go up to Coach at the end of the game. Yeah, Coach, I told you we'll do it. We'll get it. And I think it sounded. I couldn't hear what he's saying, but I was trying to read his lips. Sounded like he was sick. Told you we'll get this because they were opening up that new stadium. I almost picked the Raiders too. I almost picked them because I knew Michael Thomas was not going to play right. And get these guys. I had a perfect day going, and I'm sitting there. I had a perfect day because we do picks, you know. So I had to pick everything. I wanted to go undefeated. Well, I don't think we ever had anybody have a perfect day on picks. The last pick, it came down to them Saints and the Raiders. And I was like, oh, my God, come on, Saints. I don't gamble. But I was like, I know what them gamblers feel like because I was sitting there. I wanted to go undefeated so bad. But I thought about it when I watched it. And I watched Josh Jacobs go up to Coach. I told you we're going to get it. I told you we're going to get it. I said, oh, they really like playing for him. So that means they're going to pick up his battles. Because I'd imagine he talked about really wanting to win. This is historic. This is our first time in this stadium. This is our house. And nobody comes in our house. And, dog, they were running that football. I mean, they were running the football. And this is what New England has to be ready for. That big old fella, he comes downhill running that football hard. But if you can get that kind of play like you got out of Julian Edelman with Cam, then none of it'll matter. None of it'll matter.
Many times athletic teams are referred to as families, and we got an example of what family meant for the Patriots last Sunday night with the tragic news about James White's dad being killed in an automobile accident, his mom in critical condition. How does a team rally around a teammate, a popular teammate, and a captain in a situation like that?
Football's a hard game. And what you do when you play a game this hard, you try to find things to get you past those moments. And no doubt, that's exactly how people or how ballplayers, like when you're going or you're down, say, hey, let's go, man. This for J-Dub. This for James. We got to get this done. Let's get this done. You know, that pulls you through. And that's your way, and that's how we try to deal with it. We'll give of ourselves, you know, in that manner. Or you go by and say, man, we're going to get it for you. We good. We with you. You know, whatever you need, we're here. And you try to make sure you give them all you got. But that's so sad. It's so sad. When we heard it, we talked. I was prayed for him. You know, and you just your heart just goes out. Your heart just goes out to him. Your mom in critical condition. You lose your father. It's just sad. It's sad all the way around.
Yep, life is too short not to appreciate every moment we got, or to make sure when you're talking to Michael Irvin, you pass up the chance to ask him about his Cowboys. Michael, last Sunday, Dallas may have seriously found a way to win that I don't think would have been possible in any other capacity unless they were playing the Falcons, who are spectacular at blowing late-game leads. And now Sunday, they play the same Seahawks you just watched the Patriots go toe-to-toe with. I'm thinking that about maybe 100 points might be scored Sunday when the Cowboys and the Seagulls play. The Seahawks.
Might as well be.
Might as well be at that point. I just want to know how you felt watching that one last Sunday and how you feel heading into Russell Wilson versus Dak.
Well, I tweeted last Sunday during the game that, you know, first I tweeted, what is this mess on my TV? Because the Cowboys just kept turning the ball over. I was like, what is this? Who is this? What is this mess on my TV? And then as the game went on, I tweeted, I was writing my eulogy. I was on the last paragraph. And then finally, America's team showed up and pulled me out the grave. That's what they did. They pulled me out the grave. And oh, hallelujah, I'm alive, and we won that game. It was insane, dude. That was incredible. And this is what I said was insane. It wasn't just a comeback, 20 down, and you mount the comeback, and you get the win. It was 20 down. You mount a comeback, and then that offense, they have an explosive offense. They score some more, so you got to mount another comeback, and then that offense scored. So you had to mount another comeback, and then you had to win it with the last second impossible onside kick with a kick that I have never seen before in my life. You know how much football I have watched in my life? I ain't never seen anybody kick that little thing and it does that right there. And all of those guys had what I call a Leon Lett moment. Let it go. 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 You know, instead of jumping on the ball. So it was insane. But the Cowboys, first of all, honestly, I didn't know they had that in them. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know they had that kind of fight to come back and to keep coming back and to keep coming back. So I have to attribute that to maybe what they have as a new head coach. I've never seen them do that before. But also moving forward, that's the kind of thing that you can use the rest of the year. You know, remember, no matter what the score is on the scoreboard, if anybody has anything in them, they should be walking up and down the sideline and say, hey, we've been here before. We've been here before. We can do it again. Let's go. Let's go. And so it gives you that hope. And I always tell you guys, hope will dictate effort. You got little hope, I got little effort. You got great hope, you'll give great effort. So it gives them that hope, which shall bring out effort. You think Denver right now, who's down 3-1 to the Lakers, what do you think they're saying? We've been here before. We can get this done, because they did it with Utah, down 3-1. They did it with the Clippers, down 3-1. Now they still have hope. Most teams will be saying this series is over, and it'll affect their effort in the next game, but not Denver, because they'll have hope. I do believe the Lakers will win, but they got to go take it. Denver won't give it to them because they've been there before. That's why the Cowboys winning that way was a great way for them to win.
We always appreciate talking about football and life with Michael Irvin, the playmaker from the NFL Network. Thank you very much. Congratulations again on the birth of your new granddaughter.
Yeah, as life comes, so sometimes life leaves. Let's make sure we keep praying for James White, guys. God bless, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael Irvin, preaching. Every once in a while, you just need to stand back and let him go, don't you?
He gets passionate about his Cowboys.
I love his perspective on life and the Patriots, but like,
yeah.
He likes going off in the Cowboys.
Oh, of course he does. And there's been some great rants because they have let him down in the past. They have let him down. And you notice there's a little bit of a shot there at the former coach.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, yeah. And I think it's understandable. He's watched more Cowboys games than we have, for sure. Mm-hmm. And pretty early in the season with a new coach, he's already learned something new about him because it's a lot of the same personnel. But they got Mike McCarthy there now, and maybe he'll push them over the top. I don't know I don't have a lot of faith in the Cowboys going deep. I think I picked them to win the division or whatever, but like not much further than that. But we'll see.
The NFC East is definitely one of those, like, well, Somebody has to win.
Get
it.
In
I mean,
there.
There's really no one else that kind of deserves it. But again, here we are, only 1/8 of a way into the season. Oh, we're pretty lucky on Sunday because, or just this entire football weekend.
Yeah.
You know, last night's garbage parade aside,
Pats
at one. We got that. We got
classic
the stinker
Thursday
out of the way.
Game.
Classic Thursday. Just dumped. And next Thursday's game. Oh, they should
be a dumpster fire.
Pay you to watch it.
Which
it's
one's
Denver
that?
At the Jets.
Oh no!
So
just
next
brutal.
Week in the feast or famine world of the National Football League, that's the Thursday night game, which you might have to pay people to watch.
Yep.
The Monday night game, you got Baltimore and Kansas City, and two of the best young quarterbacks in the game. I mean, everything you want is in the Monday game.
Yeah, I can't wait for Monday. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say, Dale. Like Monday, this coming Sunday at 1 o'clock, we get the Patriots. At 4 o'clock,
guess who we have?
Tampa Bay going to Denver.
They are going to force feed us that. It's like in the old days when we would see the Oakland Raiders in the late game on Sunday in New England every single week.
Right, or Marino just playing playing Ken O'Brien.
So speaking of primetime games, this Sunday is Packers and Saints. So I'm
was
guessing
that the 8 o'clock?
I'm guessing we're going to get another episode of Boom Roasted starring Drew Brees' arm.
Oh,
because once again, a primetime game, everybody's going to see it. It's looking like no Michael Thomas again. So he is going to be in trouble. And again, it's going to have a monster rating. It's Aaron Rodgers versus Drew Brees. And yet you're going to see one quarterback play very well and another struggle.
Will Scott.
Yeah.
Scott Hansen is the host of Red Zone, right?
Yes.
Yep. Will Red Zone ever actually flip off?
Yeah, there's
will
flip off.
Okay.
Will himself to the camera?
Will the red zone channel ever not be on Seahawks Cowboys?
Oh yeah, no. You might as well just
and
be the feed.
Leave it.
You might as well just be the Fox
just
feed
leave it
of
there.
Seahawks Cowboys.
Just leave it there.
Well, it gives Scott a chance to go to the bathroom and grab a sandwich.
That's true.
That's gonna be a great game to watch.
Luckily, there's only three other 4 o'clock games, so you're not missing much.
That's what I'm saying. Like we got Pats and we got.
But one of them's Cardinals though. One of them's Cardinals. Like
that's
gonna
be a blowout.
So yeah, you'll see that one a lot too.
I'm so in. I can't wait.
It sort of sounds like we're teeing up Chris Schein, because he is seeing things with remarkable clarity for today.
Yeah, really well.
For our
just unbelievably
Friday.
Clear.
Yeah.
And we've just teed up some of the big games that are coming up this weekend and, you know, an opportunity for Schein to, you know, shine his light on what he thinks will be four heaters that Fitzy will bet on. And then hopefully Fitzy will leave the rest of the damn schedule alone.
Yeah, just stick with these bets.
Can't
stick
make
with
any
these
promises.
Bets. Okay, fair enough.
Can't make any promises.
I have an underdog parlay that he might want.
Oh,
I have
a
feeling
no
matter what, he is either, I guarantee you, he is going to bet on Chiefs Ravens, even if it's not part of Shannon's picks.
No part of that.
Because he's either going to be chasing the loss or feeling so good about the win. Like, you could go either way.
Do you want a hot take about that game, by the way?
Of course I do, Sean.
In a minute, Chime.
It's No. It has nothing to do with gambling.
Oh.
I think that's going to be a boring game.
Oh, you're. What? What?
Hot take?
Thanks
that's going to be a
Chiefs Ravens is going to be boring.
If that is
because
your
team
heading into
the picks. It's going to be a one-sided blowout.
No, this guy and his Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Where's
Lamar,
his tuba
yeah,
music?
Shades,
exactly.
Shades of Chiefs at Rams from 2018.
Yeah.
No
here comes
shot.
Chris Schein. Good. Patrick Mahomes isn't likable. He's also not that good.
Less than 50 points scored in this game.
Less than how many?
50.
So you smash the under then. The under is like,
that would be the shocker of the century right there.
That one goes under? Well, cash that check then.
Because you really love this Ravens defense, don't you?
It's going to be like 33-10.
Stop right there. He loves the Ravens.
You're going to name your first child Calais Campbell Scheim, aren't you?
No, I'm probably going to name it like Lamar Mark Ingram III Scheim.
Tannehill Scheim.
Mark Ingram III Scheim I. That's what I'm going to name him.
Well, we'll find out what heaters Chris Scheim is going to suggest you jump all over on our Free Money Friday. It's coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI. Need winners?
Yes.
Chris Scheim's got him.
We got kind of screwed with the Cincinnati game.
You lost. You lost, Scheim.
Clipping it over 60%.
Russian table tennis, Australian rules football, New Zealand rugby.
Chris Scheim is putting money in your pocket.
You lit a match to half a unit. You're not getting that back.
Guaranteeing at least one winner a week.
I will be wagering on all of Scheim's NFL picks.
But don't hold him to that.
This is my 8th straight winning season.
It's time for Free Money Friday on Dale and Keith.
All right, it's time. It's the highlight of the week. Well, after Karaoke Tuesday, it's the highlight of the week when we give Fitzy an opportunity to light a match to his money based on the recommendations of the sultry Chris Schein.
3-1 last week, Shime. Nice bounce back for you. So if you don't mind, just for the listening audience, give us an updated total on the 2020 bets that you have made, including 6 months worth of pandemic sports, which were all around the world. And then also a separate update on Jess Fitzy's money.
So on the year 2020, I'm officially 84-54-1.
Come on.
And with Fitzy's money, 3-4-1.
All right.
After an 0-3-1 start to the season, good bounce back.
Get back on that horse, as they say. And I had a chance to catch up with you earlier in the day, and you seem to be pretty confident about the picks for today.
I feel like I am Davey Eyeballs with how good I'm seeing this screen right now.
That is high praise. That is high
praise. He has the best vision I've ever heard of.
Correct.
Best vision I've ever seen.
Yes.
And it's that's how I feel looking at the board this week, especially after last week's hot, hot week.
You love to hear it. You love to hear it.
You absolutely do. I'm curious where you're going here because, you got to limit it to four picks. I know you'd probably like to pick all the games, but these have to be your four best bets.
100% they are. And me and Keith might have actually teased one of them a little bit yesterday with some of our information on the fantasy brief with Shime and Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is my Kyler Murray is the Thunder and the Lightning pick of the week. Arizona is taking on the Detroit Lions. And as we all know, these Detroit Lions
stink.
Are so bad.
Stink.
How bad are they?
They smell.
Oh, yeah.
they are quite possibly the worst team in football.
Give them a lead.
They're
they'll blow
the
it.
Jets.
They'll blow it.
They'll blow any lead you give them. So I am fully confident in the fact that Kyler Murray is going to win this game. And so they are laying 5.5 points. Give me Arizona laying 5.5 at home for Detroit.
Against the box of rotting flesh that is the Lions.
Yes.
Is that a Cardinal?
It's only 5.5?
Is that a Cardinal?
It's only 5.5, oh, okay. Kale, which only is why I'm all over this.
Oh, my God.
They're begging us to.
Is that a bait? Is that a bait?
Might be a little bit of a bait and switch, but I'm in for it.
5.5
I am
Cardinals.
I am taking the Cardinals.
I love it.
Galladay is back.
Do you guys ever get the sense that some of Shime's picks are based solely on the music that he wants to play?
No, we actually, me and John, we have a nice discussion. I show him my picks. He's the only person that sees him at a time.
Wow.
And he goes.
You have that kind of trust in him?
Only for music.
Only
because
person on the show.
Because then he goes,
got it.
I got songs for these.
He does.
And so as
you'll
notice.
All Vegas songs.
All Vegas songs.
Oh week. My God. This is really topical, isn't it? And that, of course, the sultry tones of a Cardinal.
Beautiful Cardinal.
Yeah, there's some handsome Cardinals out there. I got Cardinals in my backyard.
They're real nice.
Yeah, they're sharp. Oh, yeah. They're real sharp.
So for the second pick of the week. I know you're so sick of this pick of the week.
Oh, what?
We're going to the Tennessee Titans because we are part of the Tan Enlightenment, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan Tannehill last week, 4-for-4, 44 yards, 4 touchdowns in the red zone.
Woo!
Right now, the Tennessee Titans as a team have an 86.7% touchdown rate in the red zone.
Come on. That can't be real.
It is 100% real. The only team better than them, the Seahawks, 100% in the red zone this year.
Oh, they did play the pass.
Yeah, they did.
That helped.
So I'm taking Tennessee laying 2.5 against the Minnesota Vikings this week.
Ooh, Vikings
at
are home,
at Minnesota, but Minnesota stinks.
Yeah,
their
suck.
Secondary
suck.
Is
super
so
not good.
Yeah, freaking bad. They just got destroyed by the Colts.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers dropped a 40-burger on them. Give me Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee Titans, laying 2.5.
Okay.
This week.
All right. Wow. That's a nice second pick there.
Now, how about a would you consider teasing?
Stop! No teasers.
Parlays will be.
Why
next.
Would you tease a 2.5?
We're not teasing anything. We're
you're
just
already under
picks.
The 7 and under the 3.
Yeah, these are
they're
four,
like giving it to you.
All right.
I was just asking for a friend.
He's looking for more action. Just
don't
let him
tease
get through
Titans.
This action before you get to more action.
Bad tease on the Titans.
Pick number 3, Sean.
So pick number 3.
Yeah.
This is the Matt Ryan's kind of coming out of his cage and he's doing all right. Pick of the week.
Super wordy.
Give me.
It doesn't fit on many marquees.
No, it
you're
doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't fit on any bumper stickers.
You can't even tweet that. It's like one of two. Two of two.
I'm not following this thread.
This is two of the biggest fraud records entering a game that I've ever seen.
Okay.
The Atlanta Falcons 0-2 after having just blown a ridiculous game to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
last
they did.
Year. Just unbelievable.
They can't close like the Celtics.
And the Chicago Bears. Might be the biggest fraud of a 2-0 team
fool's
I've
gold.
Seen in
History.
A long time. Fool's gold.
Fool's gold.
Big time fool's gold.
Yes.
And so I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons laying 3.5 this week against Chicago.
Wow.
For the sole reason.
What is that part?
Bear. The Chicago Bears.
Oh, that's the Bear.
Is that
the
what
Bears.
That is?
Peregrine oh. Falcon versus the Bear. Who
yes.
do you got?
If it's one-on-one,
open
I'm taking
stadium.
The Bear.
Open stadium.
If it's one-on-one, Bear gets one swipe with those claws, it wins.
Peregrine Falcon's the fastest animal in the world.
So a bear can take it a couple pecks. So the only way a Peregrine Falcon's winning is if it completely air dives you every time. And it's just constant air dives. But if the bear times it once, gets a claw in there, Falcon's dead.
So the Falcon's going to land on the ground and put up its dukes and just duke it out with the bear?
Never, Dale.
Of course he's
going
to dive on it.
Plus, this is also going to be Julio Jones' final home game before he gets traded to the Patriots.
There it is.
Yeah, because Calvin Ridley's going to have like 10 catches for 200 yards. This Chicago Bears team is not going to be able to keep up with the scoring potential of the Atlanta Falcons. As bad as this Falcons defense is, it won't matter. It's
going
to be like 50-20.
Trubisky, 3 picks Sunday.
You'd think Shine would be a huge fan of the Bears.
No.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Wow.
What do you mean?
Why normally, I would be. I am a big fan of the Bruins.
Yes.
Just not the Chicago.
Bear Force One. All right, the fourth and final pick. I feel like I can already smell 3-0. I can smell 3-0,
Fitzy.
I don't want to jinx anything. I smell 3-0, but will we get a 4-0?
Yes, I think so, because this is my – I have high hopes for a high total pick of the week.
Yes. I love this song. I love the extra long names.
I feel like it's if you're just going to bet overs, it's fun, but it reeks of amateur hour just a little bit.
Not really, because this over is intimidating. This one scares you, but I'm telling you, don't shy away. Do not be afraid of this number.
Okay.
We have Dallas and Seattle. We just saw Seattle get shredded by Cam.
Fitzy called them the Seagulls in an interview with Hall of Famer Michael Irvin.
He did call them the Seagulls.
Well, it was weirder when I called them the Cow People.
So we saw the Seahawks secondary get shredded, especially in the slot by Julian Edelman.
Yes.
CeeDee Lamb's going to have a massive week. We saw Dallas let up 39 points to the Falcons. I expect this game to score probably like 130 points. Let's be honest. The over-under right now is 57. Which is massive.
For
the first half, I would bet on it.
And I am betting on the over 57 in Dallas.
Wow. God.
We are sending it. I am eating all of my money at this pick.
What was that one called again?
I have high hopes for a high total.
High hopes, high total. Okay, got it. I have high hopes for a high total. So, Shyam, man, I hate to jinx it, but it does look like a 4-0 week.
Knock on wood. Mutt said the same thing last week. I went 3-0 on the podcast, 3-1 on the show.
All right, so to recap your picks, maybe people are just joining us later or couldn't understand all the picks because of the music and the confusion. Why don't you recap your picks for the weekend?
Quick recaps of the picks. We have Arizona laying 5.5 versus Detroit. The Tennessee Titans laying 2.5 at Minnesota.
John tries to keep up with
Atlanta laying 3.5 versus the Bears. And we got over 57 Dallas-Seattle and... I have a little special one for you. This is a nice little sprinkle.
If the word parlay comes out of his lips
Dale, it's going to be a teaser. Just wait.
You want to get a little sprinkle in this because this is the Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time Triple Dog Underdog Parlay.
Parlay of the Week.
Right now,
honestly... I am the gif of like that person standing there and all the hot dogs get thrown at their face. I want all the sprinks.
Just glizzies everywhere.
Shyam, you have a little bit of Updog on your shoulder.
What's Updog?
Not much. How are you? All right, Shyam.
So the triple dog. I've never seen a board more welcoming of a triple dog parlay in years. Mm-hmm.
They're inviting you. They are practically.
This is chalk. It's lumber. It's fire.
Right off the bat, we're going to start where Keith mentioned earlier. Yeah. He thinks the Bills could lose 4 in a row, and I think it starts this week.
That's not what a Buffalo is.
Or a Ram.
That's a Buffalo sound?
Currently,
the Rams are underdogs. They were 2.5-point underdogs.
Yeah,
now 1.5-point underdogs. Rams. Make sure you get on this before the Sharps do. I like the Rams at Moneyline. They are an underdog.
Yeah.
Then
you better
parlay
that now, because if they hear this segment, that line
parlay
is
that
over.
With the Moneyline of the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh sure.
We have seen Carson Wentz play pathetically for 2 weeks, and it's going to keep going. Joe Burrow needs to get his first NFL win. They've shown that they're not afraid to throw the football. Eagles last in the league in DVOA against the pass. I think Joe Burrow is going to throw for 400 yards this week.
Your analysis was he needs to get a win.
He needs to get a win. He needs to get a win in the NFL. All right. And so I'm taking the Cincinnati money line, another line that has now dropped from plus six to plus 4.5. So you're losing value every second you waste.
Everything.
So
call this number now.
And so
but
the
wait,
final,
there's more.
Yeah, final dog to tie this all together is a number
dog.
I saw as soon as it came out. I couldn't believe it. The Green Bay Packers are underdogs Sunday night taking on the New Orleans Saints.
That's ridiculous.
We saw wet noodle arm Breeze fall apart on Monday night. They're on technically a short week, and Green Bay has been tearing it up. Aaron Jones, 3 touchdowns week 2.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdowns week 1.
Yes.
240 burgers. Give me the Green Bay Packers money line to tie it all together. And this is coming at you.
This was Chris Shimes' Paw Patrol parlay. All dogs, all the time.
Paw Patrol?
They're dogs.
They're dogs.
It's dogs time.
I got
dogs.
It.
Okay. All right.
Dogs.
So you.
You're going to question the name of my picks when you have. What was it? The Matt Ryan what?
Matt Ryan's doing just fine. He's coming out of his cage. He's doing just fine.
He's in a cage?
Thank God I
it's
like
it. It's the
your...
lyric from the song.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Okay.
I didn't pay that
either
close
way,
attention to it.
This parlay is paying out at 10 to 1.
Stop it. Stop
that's
what you're doing
why
right
I'm doing
now.
This.
Pull over or drive up to New Hampshire and make this bet.
Turn around.
Dogs,
driver, take me
to
Rhode Island immediately.
Three dogs do make a right.
Damn right.
That's the name of it.
Three dogs do make a right. Well, Sean Fitzy, good
great.
Luck, gentlemen.
Like
thank
said,
you, thank you, thank you.
Cover
thank
me
you.
In those hot dogs.
when we
back,
hit this parlay, you're going to be wanting to cover them.
There will be a Tampa Bay taste on what else you got. It's coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
All right, let's dive right into it because Shime's picks took quite a while. Let's get into things that we missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Fitzy!
All right, Dale. The most popular MLB player jerseys of 2020 have been announced. There are 20 of them. In a tweet I got from Pete Abraham, I'm going to give you 3 guesses. Actually, I'm going to give you 1 guess what's the most popular selling MLB jersey this year.
Jose Peraza.
I actually know.
Yep, that's right, everybody.
Mookie Betts!
What else
Mookie
you
Betts.
Got?
Yeah,
that's,
Mookie
that's,
Betts!
I just need everyone to know that. So they
no,
can just
no Red Sox
sit,
in the top 22.
Sit in that diaper of sadness.
Not a shock. Well, Dale, a lot has been made about Rob Gronkowski's performance, if you will, the first 2 games with the
or
Tampa Bay
thereof.
Buccaneers, right? Combined with Bruce Arians talking about, hey, he's a tight end. He's here to play tight end. Well, today, Rob Gronkowski was asked about the first couple of games.
I'm a blocking tight end, you know? I came here to block, baby. So 4 targets is 4 more than I thought I was going to get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rob, you're not fooling anyone. While you say you're a blocking tight end, your track record indicates that otherwise, that you have a lot more to offer there. When you came to Tampa Bay, what were your expectations like as far as how much you were going to be used in the passing game? And would you like to see that role increase?
Oh, my God. I'm a blocking.
I'm a blocking tight end. That's all I got.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is like this is the motocross. This is the motocross press conference all over again.
Yes.
He's a blocking tight end, baby. Baby. He dropped a baby in
baby.
There. He's miserable.
How can anyone believe this man? It's awful.
It's sad, really.
What else you got?
Actually, I've got a better indication of why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traded for and then ultimately brought Rob Gronkowski out of retirement. And that was simply as programming content on the latest episode of Tommy and Gronky.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, Robbie.
Did you see your kids this morning?
I did. I love my kids. It's so nice being with them. One day you'll have that.
What's it like to be a daddy?
It's kind of like being around you and my teammates all day. A little bit older. So just trying to impart some, a little wisdom.
So you're a daddy 24/7 because... I'm your kid, and then you got 52 other kids on the team.
I think my kids at home might be easier than you sometimes.
I think so, too.
Turn it off.
Oh,
shut it
my
off.
God.
Remember that line from... I
hate them so much.
My God.
I hate them so much. I want them to lose every game.
Would Bill Belichick,
I want them to lose every game.
After the way they've played, allow them to get out there and put out that garbage?
I want
Listen, I've produced plenty of garbage on the internet, but I have never produced something that is cringe
inducing. Quick search away.
I have too. I did it all this week.
That's true.
Quiet, John.
10 to 2. Thanks, John. Imagine that, though. I mean, that is how unlikable can you get?
So you're a daddy 24/7?
Yeah. Lord.
I hate him so much.
Rather I mean, that's apparently why Rob Gronkowski was brought in by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Comic relief.
He is a big help on the social media.
I'm a blocking tight end, baby.
Four targets is more than I expected.
All right, I think we, real quickly, got to go around the table. I've got Patriots by a touchdown. Fitzy?
Yeah. Oh. Patriots by 10 Sunday.
Patriots cover.
Pats by a million.
Pats by a field goal.
Oh, they don't cover?
Oh, no cover.
Sean, you sly dog.
All the homers are in one place, and they're right here from 10 to 2. Fellas, have a great weekend.
You too, Dale.
See ya.
OMF's coming up next. We'll see you on Monday. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.